bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide. Send us your ideas. We are open to any idea.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
He is a brilliant, brilliant creator. He's in charge of every detail.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Today's guests: Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton, MLB Network host Brian Kenny, plus latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich.
And this man is a brilliant creator.
It's Andrew Siciliano.
Oh, that was a clever edit, wasn't it? That man is brilliant. That was not about me. But hey, it is me, and you get me for the next couple of days. And actually, in the next week as well, because Rich is on one of those paid holidays to London. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. My name is Andrew. I am a little bit rusty. I am happy to be here. My brain is not really working well during the week. I'm not working a lot during the week, so I'm thrilled to be here actually speaking into a microphone. And thrilled and elated and flattered that I'm sitting in here for Rich, who, as you know, is getting ready for the big NFL Network. You could also watch it on NFL Plus. Watch it on NFL Plus as well. Game coming up on Sunday in London, Tottenham Stadium. Rich will join us later, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, that is, for the Buffalo Bills as the home team against the Jacksonville Jaguars. As the Jaguars continue their two-week London residency, they are the road team this week. Thrilled to be here. Truly, I do mean that. I've said this to Rich countless times, both on and off the air, that I'm flattered that he asks me to sit here when he is gone. I used to do this a lot, like way back in the day. My life was the three-hour radio talk show thing here daily. So happy to be back in a format that I kind of sort of miss. As always, you can watch the show. You are watching this show on the Roku channel. We appreciate that. You can listen on Sirius XM. We're on 218 and 202 on Sirius NXM and on the Odyssey app and on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the YouTube. And the phone number is 844-204-RICH. As mentioned, Kyle Hamilton, the Ravens safety, the 3-1 Baltimore Ravens, go to Pittsburgh this week at another division road game. He will join us in about 15 minutes as well. And we are down to the divisional series is now in the MLB. Brian Kenny from MLB Network 213 on your DirecTV. As I still watch it, he will join us in 2 hours as well. However, Chris Brockman, we have a Thursday night football game. It is hard to believe. Good to see you, sir. That it is already week number 5. I feel the NFL season often does this to us, and I think it's the same for fans as it is for us who work on this side of the business. It's, I can't believe we get to week X, and then we get to a point where, wow, it's only week 13, week 14. We have how much of this left until the postseason? I think we're at our first benchmark here, which is I can't believe we're week 5.
Yeah, it's a long season, and I think to just piggyback on the point you just said, it's that we do that cycle every year. It's, wow, it's week 5 already. It's October. It's getting dark. It's 6:45.
Yeah. And Halloween's almost here. I see pumpkins
and
out.
Like, and it's only Thanksgiving. We still got December. These teams can figure it out. There's a long way to go to January. So, yeah, we've reached that point. Is tonight's game exciting? I don't know. There is a football game, and there are a lot of compelling storylines within it, whether or not you think the game is going to be good, competitive, etc. I'm going to still tune in because there's kind of a lot on the line for both of these teams, even though it's only week 5.
So this week's game, tonight's game, and yes to everything you just said, is outside our nation's capital, FedEx Field, in, I'll say it, I'm allowed to say it, the worst stadium in the NFL. I'll say it, they know it too, and that's why they're looking for, that's my hometown, by the way, Washington, D.C., or Northern Virginia, the DMV, as it's now called by many. They're looking for a new home. But it is, I think, a fantastic, it's a fascinating way to open week five, because now that we have 17 games over 18 weeks, we really can't say this is the quarter pole of the season. We're not a quarter of the way through the season for these two teams until we're at the end of the first quarter tonight. Then we're officially a quarter of the way through the season. The Bears are a mess. In our new NFL Power Rankings, which, by the way, is a podcast now that I host, download it wherever you get your podcasts. Yours truly and Eric Edholm. The Bears are number 32. They're the worst team in the NFL. Even though there are winless teams, well, like the Bears, the Bears are the worst team of the NFL. The Commanders are 2-2. They're number 22 in our latest power rankings. If Ron Rivera had gone for two and beaten the Eagles last week, I think it's a bad decision. He got out of there with a loss in Philadelphia, didn't beat them in consecutive years, had beaten them last year when the Eagles were undefeated at 8-0. I think the Commanders would be far higher. Far higher. They are good enough to be coming into this game and should, honestly, in my opinion, be coming into this game at 3-1. 3-1, having beaten the defending NFC champions on the road for the second straight year. They're not. They're 2-2. But they're a short week. They're at home. You always take the home team on a short week. They always have the edge. And I think they're a good team. You don't want to play that defense. And Sam Howell, he's going to turn it over once or twice maybe. But, man, he is fun to watch. He led him down the field on that game-tying drive last week in Philly. Touchdown, no time left. As I said, they should have gone for two. Ron Rivera's excuse, you and I were talking, Chris, off the air, doesn't really stand up. Excuse, explanation, maybe the better way to say it. And that was, we were tired. Thought we were gassed. They probably were, but isn't that why you go for two?
To end the game?
To right. End it to so you don't it have to over. Play.
You want five more minutes of your over tired guys playing?
Seven,
time.
Another period? I'm
hey,
confused.
TJ's here as well. Forgot to say hi to TJ.
What's up, everybody?
How are you,
TJ,
sir? So, can I set up the studio here? Like, Chris is over here, clearly in my eyesight. I looked over there. TJ, I forgot, you're now to the right of this monitor.
Yeah.
There's a massive monitor in my vision here. And so I looked over there and like, oh, TJ's behind the monitor. I'll get the TJ. No, you're over there to the right of the monitor. As I said, I'm not here very often. I'm going to sit on my feet. I feel more comfortable sitting on my feet. Not because I'm short, but just in general. I'm the kid that still sits on his feet and has a bad back because of it. Do you know that? I'm nearly 50 and I still sit on my feet. Where was I? I got to get used to. I'm doing six of these shows in the next 2 weeks.
And Jason Feller's here too.
And Jason. Hey, hi, Jason. I'm sorry. That?
Normally he's only here on Friday, so yeah. It's understandable.
Can I explain something? So without like Del Tufo, like I didn't know, Jason, if I'm supposed to introduce you.
I kind of got that feeling.
Like there's the Del Tufo thing. Obviously,
he's a cartoon character.
He's a cartoon character,
I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he's sitting in front of whatever the deli was in Sopranos over there. Like I always intro Del Tufo. So my point being, I'm getting used to my surroundings again. I promise it'll be smoother tomorrow. Good. Where were we?
And by the way, just real quick, I said this to you on Instagram. I tell you in person. My Sundays have not been the same without you, man. Yeah, I miss you, bro.
You were very nice to say that. I thank you, I tweeted week one to everyone who misses the DirecTV version of the Red Zone channel on NFL Sunday Ticket. I miss you, too. And I'll leave it at that. I do miss you, too. And I miss doing that on Sundays. There is a deeper dive here to do about how, honestly, I feel like it makes it more difficult to do my job during the week because I don't have that seat on Sundays, but I am loving our new Sunday morning show on the NFL channel, the NFL streaming fast channel. It's on Roku. It's right there on Roku.
Yeah, buddy.
The NFL fast channel on Roku. It's also on the front of YouTube, on the NFL's YouTube page, 12 million subscribers, and on all your other major streaming platforms in which you find free television. I love it with Steve Weich and Leslie Frazier joined us last week and Cynthia Freeland, who comes over from Game Day Morning and Rich's show on NFL Network to sit in with us as well. She's there for the entire show this week. Fantasy from Michael Florio and Fantasy from Marcus Grant. We have a lot of fun doing that show and more to come. I'll have some other stuff to tell you about soon. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But thank you, TJ. I miss you guys as well. I think tonight's game, and I've gone a roundabout way to getting to it on the Bears side, is amazing theater. And Chris alluded to it. not because we like to watch people fail on television, but we do like to watch people fail on television. I am rooting for the Bears to not fail because I really do like Matt Eberflus on a personal level, and a lot of people in that building in Lake Forest on a personal level. But it's really hard to put into words how bad it is there right now and how things snowball. Not how bad it is like everyone hates each other. That's not what I mean. But it's gotten to a point in Chicago. And if you go 35,000 foot view in Chicago, Cubs flamed out last week of the playoffs. It was bad. Or last week of the regular season, you had your Brant Brown moment in right field. I mean, it was just awful, right? They missed the playoffs. White Sox are a mess. They've spent all the money. They've torn it down. They got rid of La Russa. And you know what's happened there. They're probably going to have to tear it down, get rid of some of their big names. White Sox fans are apoplectic as well. So you have those two. And then you have the Bears. It is, no matter how much the Cubs and White Sox and Bulls do well or do poorly, and same goes for the Blackhawks, it is and will always be a Bears town. Period. Full stop. Bears town. And that's not because I'm an NFL sycophant. It's because it's the truth. All right. I used to live and work there. I used to work in that building. I used to be the Bears sideline reporter many years ago, different administration. Dave Wansted administration back in the 90s. Okay, but it is always a Bears town. An 85 Bear will never pay for a meal in Chicago, ever. They are royalty. They are untouchable. Every Bears team is trying to match that, period. Bears, Bears, Bears. Everybody thinks that if Matt Eberflus, I've heard Peter King say it, Mike Florio wrote about it on Pro Football Talk today. Well, if it goes badly tonight for the Bears, and it is national TV, as opposed to local TV, you always say, hey, we're on national TV. Everything's national TV these days. You can watch anything on your phone, okay? If the Bears lose their 15th straight game, it's 14 right now, 14 straight. If they lose their 15th straight game, people think, well, Matt Eberflus is out tonight. He's not. I'll tell you right now, he's not getting fired tonight. He isn't. If they make it 15 in a row, he is not out tonight. Because I ask you kindly, in your free time, to go to ChicagoBears.com and pull up the coaching staff. You tell me who the replacement is on that staff with two-thirds of the season, three-quarters of the season still remaining. Can anyone name me the replacement? It isn't going to be Luke Getsy. I like Luke a lot. But clearly the offense isn't working, so you're not going to give it to the offensive coach. Alan Williams, the defensive coach, he's gone. That story is yet to be unpacked publicly, but he is not there. So who is it going to be? I'll tell you right now, there is no interim replacement on this coaching staff. There simply isn't one. And a little historical perspective. The Chicago Bears, in their proud history, this is year 104 of the NFL, have never fired a coach in season with the McCaskies running it. It's never happened. It will not happen. Luke Steckel's kid isn't taking over. Okay? It's not happening. I would love to see David Walker. First of all, I don't want to see who's fired, but like David Walker, Syracuse legend, yeah. Right? He's the running backs coach, Chris. Would he be the guy? There isn't a choice there. And if you get rid of Eberflus, now you're down your head coach and your DC. Who's calling your defense? It's not going to happen. I also don't think the Bears are going to win tonight. Their secondary is a disaster with injuries. They're not going to win tonight on a short week on the road. It's just not going to happen. They are going to lose their 15th consecutive game. And then we are going to get tomorrow morning to this question. Can they beat the Vikings or the Raiders in the next 2 weeks to avoid losing 17 in a row over two seasons? Look at the schedule. Can they? Their last victory came on October 24 of 2022, a week before Halloween a year ago. I'm going to tell you right now, I think they lose 17 straight games. And I think they lose a full season worth of games over 2 years. I think they do it. Over a calendar year.
Yeah, you just look at that schedule and you wonder where a win is coming from. You know, if Carolina hadn't already given Chicago their pick for next year, that was it, week 10 against Carolina would be the Caleb Williams Bowl, but the Bears already have it. So it doesn't really matter if they win or lose that game. Yeah, it's kind of bleak. It's tough. You know, Adam's a Bears fan. I know a lot of Bears fans. So do you. Everybody here does. It's rough. I can't imagine watching a game on Sunday knowing you're not going to win. You have no chance.
Except last week they did, and that's the problem. You're not getting blown out and giving up 50, but you are giving up 25. Well, here's another fun one. During the losing streak, they have allowed 25 points in every single game, and you have a defensive head coach.
Oh, that's crazy.
14 games in a row.
Inexcusable.
25 points in every one of those games. Here's another one. They have lost their last 10 games in which they have held a lead. So they blew the huge lead. What was it? 21 to 9? Whatever it was.
It was 28-7.
28-7. Yeah, against Denver. A 21-point lead to Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, and the Broncos, who had given up 70 the week before. They were up 21, and they lost that lead. It marked the 10th time during this losing streak that they have held a lead and blown it. I mean, not only are they losing, they're ripping the hearts out of their fans while losing. But he is not getting fired. Famous last words, maybe he's fired tomorrow. Anyway, I digress. Coming up, we're going to go to Baltimore. Kyle Hamilton, safety of the Baltimore Ravens, as they get ready to head to Pittsburgh, is set to join us. He had three sacks in a game 2 weeks ago and played great last week as well as they went into Cleveland and beat the Browns. Will Roquan Smith threaten the families of any Steelers this week? We'll ask Kyle Hamilton coming up. Do I have to do anything going to break here? Like, again, this is my first show. You guys are going to walk me through my first show here.
We're good.
Nothing going to break?
Just let them know
we'll be back. I'm getting a count. We're going to break. Kyle Hamilton's next.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks. Boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
I will say this.
Yes.
I am a man that knows when he's defeated.
Yes.
I was beaten this year.
Yes.
So my business manager is supposed to have the hat for us. He did not.
Oh, we're throwing Jamal under the bus. Who are we throwing under the bus right now?
He did not bring
that. Who is thrown
hat?
Under the bus by
yeah,
the bus just right
him.
Now?
He's not, see, he didn't even show his face. I was willing to wear this hat. He had it made up.
Well, he told me that the hat that he made up had the final score.
No, he had the hat on there. Whatever. It was a hat. I don't know what that
the
was.
The hat is supposed to read the following.
I am going to listen to this.
Okay.
Hear this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and best.
Wow.
That is for you.
Wow.
Only.
Wow.
You know it.
I honestly
took for me to do that.
I honestly can't have thought of anything else that you would do that would make me think that you would not have to follow through on your end of the wager, which is wear an I should have gone to Michigan hat on the vaunted field of Notre Dame with touchdown Jesus behind you. But do I let him out of that end of the bet now?
He's good, that was man. Pretty epic, actually. And he nailed all the words.
Well, he grew up in the state of Michigan. He should know them. He should know them.
I mean, that was like 40 years ago.
I did not know them. I had to look them up to make sure I was saying it correctly for you.
Also, I'm getting visions of, like, Jerome practicing before he came out here.
That did sound rehearsed.
Yeah, it sounded rehearsed. That was great.
That took a lot out of me.
Great job, Jerome.
You know that.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sit up straight, Andrew. No. Hey, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Not starring Rich Eisen today. He will be back next week after the whole London thing. Or no, 2 weeks, something like that. Regardless, Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich. Rich is going to join us coming up in a couple of hours. He is in London getting ready for the Bills and the Jaguars. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. This is furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Getting ready for Thursday night football tonight. It is in Washington. Got the Commanders and the Bills. Also getting ready for a heck of a game on Sunday in Pittsburgh, where, yes, the Baltimore Ravens have to go on the road in the AFC North yet again. They have already gone to Cincinnati and won. They went to Cleveland last week and won. And now Kyle Hamilton, Ravens safety, putting together a fantastic year in his second season, and his crew have to go to Pittsburgh to beat the Steelers at 1 o'clock Eastern on CBS. And he joins us on the phone now from Owings Mills, from the Castle. Kyle Hamilton, how the heck are you?
I'm well, Andrew. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for doing this, man. I know Thursdays you guys got work to do, but you guys got work to do getting ready for the Steelers. I just read that schedule. I don't know if the average fan knows it. This is your third AFC North road game already. Kyle, it is week five. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, talk about starting fast. We're definitely getting a head start to the season in these first few weeks, but I mean, that's what camp for. We prepare for it all year, and we've done a good job so far. We are 2-0 right now in the division, looking to make it 3-0 on the road.
What does it do to your locker room? What does it say to everybody, to the league, if you can go 3-0 in the division on the road here before we even get to Halloween?
Yeah, I think it obviously puts us in a really good position going into the playoffs and later in the year, but it's tough to look at that far ahead right now. We're just worried about this week, worried about Pittsburgh, and going up there, having a good game plan, executing it, and getting a win.
Is this now the best rivalry? I think it has been for a while, but if you look at Bears and Packers, that's not the same. It's one side. The Packers own the Bears. I mean, that's the oldest rivalry in the NFL. Is this, simply put, the best and most physical rivalry we have?
I'm probably biased, but I would say yes.
Of course you're biased. That's why I asked. That's good.
Yeah, it's something I've grown up watching. Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Joe Flacco, people like that. And on the Pittsburgh side, they had greats too. Troy Polamalu, Ryan Clark, Big Ben. So there's some historic names, historic games between us. And just trying to etch my place and team etch our place in that history this week.
Talking to Kyle Hamilton, Ravens safety, they're going to Pittsburgh. How is this game different? Like, describe it, Kyle. I mean, we know it's a physical game, and I always tell fans who've never stood on the sideline, like, you can't understand how physical your average NFL run play is. Like, let's say somebody runs for 5 yards, you come up in the hole and make the tackle, and your average fan sitting on his couch doesn't even look up from his phone. He's looking at Twitter, right? And they can't understand how that feels like a car crash. But yet, Steelers games feel different. How much different do they feel?
Yeah, to that point, I always joke with my girlfriend about how I don't know if she would survive a Ravens Steelers game getting 25 carries. But now the physicality is definitely real. It's you can feel it in practice. We preach and we pride ourselves on treating every team the same way, nameless, faceless opponents. But everybody knows when it's Pittsburgh week and things just ramp up a little bit around the building. There's a focused energy that everybody can feel, and it's a good thing. I think we all are locked in this week and excited to go out there on Sunday.
Has Roquan Smith said this week that he wants to, quote, I'm going to get this right, beat their tail in front of his wife and kids like he did last week?
I actually did not know that quote existed, but kind of funny. But yeah,
Hold on. Back up, Kyle. You did not hear last week what Roquan said after he said it? Come on.
I did not, honestly.
Okay, so
he said what again?
So this was a big deal in Cleveland. Clearly, you went into Cleveland and beat their tails. But Roquan was on the podium last week, you know, right outside there, as you guys always do the podium for the local media. And he said, we're going to go into the dog pound. I guess they call it the dog pound. He had a smile on his face. He said, like, I consider myself a dog. I think we're all dogs here on this defense. You're going into another man's house. And, you know, when you go into another man's house, another man's stadium, and here's the quote. He said, you want to beat their tail in front of his wife and kids. And that became like a bulletin board thing in Cleveland. But clearly it did not matter because you went in there and did exactly what he described.
Yeah. That sounds about right for Roquan. now I'm hearing that. Yeah, I mean, it gives ourselves motivation when we hear stuff like that. And like you said, at the same time, gives the other team motivation. But at the end of the day, it's about who comes out on Sunday and plays the best, executes the best, and most physical. So,
two more things. Go ahead. I'll cut you off.
I was saying just last week we went out and we proved that. We got to do the same thing this week.
So 2 weeks ago you had 3 sacks in a game, which is pretty amazing here for anyone, especially for a safety as well. You have yet to have a pick six in the NFL. You had one at Notre Dame, I think against New Mexico, if I could read the stat sheet right. Which would feel better, wrote Kyle here in the NFL, 3 sacks in a game or a pick six?
Pick six, for sure. For sure, pick six. I think I did have one in college. That was actually my first play at Notre Dame. And I haven't felt that feeling since. And definitely get in that end zone one more time. You know, I've always said that I wanted to play a little receiver, emergency wide receiver, if they ever needed me. But that opportunity doesn't look like it's going to happen, so I'll just have to get in the end zone.
Wait.
But definitely.
Kyle, hold on. Last week was the week it could have happened. I mean, no Bateman, no Odell. They had to bring guys up from the practice squad. They signed Laquan Treadwell off his couch. Did you push to do it last week?
No, my plate's already pretty full on the defensive side.
Okay.
So I don't know. Mentally, if they told me to go out there and run a fade, then yeah, I could do that. But I don't know about all the other stuff.
End zone fade, man. I mean, you got the size. Most inefficient play in football, according to the analytics geeks. Go push Todd Monken. You want to be that fade guy for the corner. Not Mark Andrews, triple covered in the end zone for Lamar's greatest pass of the season. You want it to be you. Finally, you mentioned Notre Dame, Kyle. I was doing my research last night, and obviously the Sam Hartman looks old jokes are endless. But as we put Sam Hartman on the screen here with his luxurious beard looking like a Just for Men ad right here, do you realize that the Notre Dame quarterback is 2 years older than you, and you are in your second NFL season?
Yeah, so I actually got the opportunity to meet and hang out with Sam this spring because I was back in school finishing up my degree. So we got somewhat close during that time, and he always jokes about how if he gets drafted to the Ravens or something like that, he's going to be my rookie, quote-unquote, and he's going to be like 2 years older than me. It's going to be a little weird. But no, he's been doing a great job leading them, and I think all around he's done a great job coming in, assimilating within the team. I really love him from what I've heard and what I've seen. And he's done a great job. He's put himself in a good position going into the draft and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, he's made Notre Dame better since he's gotten there. So we're definitely grateful for him.
I love how he's leaning into it, too. If he wanted to look younger, he'd get rid of the beard and cut his hair. But he doesn't care, evidently.
I think it's kind of a branded Sam Hartman kind of thing now, the beard and the hair.
Yeah, man, it's working. And that drive last week to beat Duke at the end was pretty fantastic. And if you haven't seen it yet, check out Notre Dame Twitter because they put together like a 5-minute clip. You got helmet communication. You got the play-by-play calls. It's it's awesome stuff. And they get Louisville this week in a pretty big game, as well as you guys get the Steelers this week in a huge game here as well. Kyle Hamilton, we always appreciate your time, man. Good luck this week.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
You got it. Kyle Hamilton, safety. And a damn good one there of your Baltimore Ravens. They use him all over the field. They use him up in the box, clearly. He can play deep. He is not a one-trick pony in any way, shape, or form. One of those picks, and you always love how Eric DaCosta does his draft. Hey, best guy here, we're taking him. Maybe we don't need him, but we're taking him. And it's another one of those picks where you go, yeah, you knew exactly what you were doing there. This guy is special. Truly, truly special. Sam Hartman's beard, though, also quite special. He does look like the Just for Men commercial. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying he looks like Bob Seger from the 70s.
Right?
Like, the guy is, like, the guy's got serious flow, man. Serious flow.
How old is he? He's 24. Kyle's only 22 in his second week.
Kyle's still young.
Kyle's young.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Sam Hartman is
38 years old.
He turned 24 the end of July. Now, he's a transfer. Look, every quarterback is a transfer these days.
Seems like it.
Every single player is a transfer, period. I did a college game a couple of weeks ago. Did LSU, not LSU, I'm sorry, Grambling, before they played LSU, did Grambling and Hampton. And like, Grambling had 20 transfers, right? Everybody's got 20 transfers on their roster. So Sam Hartman obviously was at Wake, and now he's in Notre Dame. He is 24 years old. When he gets drafted next year, and he will play in the league, he will be 25 years old. It used to be when you saw those older guys get drafted, like Brandon Weeden, for example, it's because they went to play baseball for 5 years.
Chris Winkie. Yeah.
Right? Chris Winkie. Yeah. Same kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe you're a little bit older because you played at BYU. You went on a mission for some time. All right. And that tacks a couple of years on your college experience. Now it's because you're transferring two and three times and you're going to hit the league at 25. Now, that's also an issue for some NFL teams, because if I'm getting you in my rookie contract, 5 years for the first round or 4 years for the second round, well, then when your second contract comes around, am I paying you again at 28 or 29? At that point, am I giving you big money? It's different for the quarterback position, certainly, but that's an issue that NFL teams think about. Teams thought about it with Baker Mayfield when he came out as a transfer and as a quote-unquote older quarterback, but Sam Hartman's going to be 25 years old. And if you haven't seen that clip of his final drive, Notre Dame, Duke last week,
it's sick.
Check it out. It'll send a chill down your spine, truly. Notre Dame, Louisville this week. I love how Notre Dame kind of, you know, did what Ohio State did to them 1 week later, but did it on the road at Duke. All right, again, I'm new here. Are we in a break segment?
We got like 5 more minutes. Yeah, you mentioned the older quarterback, Kenny Pickett's in that similar boat. He's 25 now, was 24 last year for his rookie season. An older player, an older rookie playing quarterback in the NFL.
And a transfer as well. As basically any quarterback coming out these days, look at, who was it last year? No, 2 years ago, Justin Fields. Last year? No, not necessarily. But look at Tua coming out. Tua's brother, Talia, at Maryland. Think about it. So he's putting up a huge
year. They could beat Ohio State this week.
They get Ohio State this week in Columbus. I think Ohio State wins that game, okay? But he's putting up huge numbers. Imagine if Alabama had him right now. Now, there's no way he would have stayed behind Bryce Young all that time. He likely wouldn't have been patient. Understandably, he wanted to play, and he's shown that he's pretty darn good. He needed to play. And if he had waited all this time at Alabama, would he have been playing this well in now his senior season? Probably not.
Probably not.
Okay. But imagine if Alabama had him right now. You'd think of Alabama a little bit differently, wouldn't you? You think of it a lot differently. And that's one of the reasons all the quarterbacks do transfer, because if you lose the job or if there's somebody in front of you, hey, I'm out. Right? Period. I mean, Hudson Card now at Purdue. Quinn Ewers is the guy. All right, I'm out. So, I mean, that's how it works everywhere. You don't want to play me? Fine. I'm out. And with NIL money and with the ease of the transfer portal, it's quarterback free agency, and everyone else has free agency as well. You're not going to play me? I'm out. Now, there are way too many players listening to way too many coaches and way too many players listening to way too many agents and dads and NIL people thinking they are better than they are. But that's fine. Go get it. Listen, what percentage of players actually make it to the NFL? It's infinitesimally small. Infinitesimally small. Actually, real careers in the NFL. If you think you have a shot to chase that dream and you think, excuse me, did I just do that on the air? I did. That you have a better shot somewhere else, go for it. I'm all for it. I don't care.
I totally agree.
Totally agree.
Totally agree.
Does it mess up college football? Yeah, it does. But you know what? It's America. Like, the guardrails were there, and they didn't make sense anymore. Does it make sense to probably add some guardrails now? Like, is the Wild Wild West the best? No. There'll be a pullback somewhere, somehow. I don't know how. I mean, there will be. Some of these NIL collectives will fail and not pay the money they promised these kids, or there will be lawsuits, right? Undoubtedly. Like, it's not a perfect system. But look at Utah. So the thing last night, Utah, each player is going to get an F-150. Each player. Not some players. Every player.
That's what, 90 guys?
Right? Whatever.
On a college roster, there's 90 plus.
But if you think
so?
About it, it's not that much money. Somebody did the math. Let's say the lease is hypothetically $500 a month on the car. I don't know what the lease is. I have no idea. But let's say it's a $500 a month car lease. Times 90, 45 grand a month.
450.
Okay. I'm sorry, 450 a month. Thank you. Collectively. And then you do that times a couple of months. It's not that much. It's really not that much in the grand scheme of things. Yes, it's big money, but the school's making big money. Now, that big money has to trickle down to everybody else, and that's what people always forget, is that the football and the basketball, mostly the football, at all of these D1 schools, FBS, all right, pays for everything else in the athletic department that has never sold a ticket, ever, but does serve a purpose, both academically and culturally and everything for the university and for the program and for the student athlete. And they should be there. I am not for cut all the non-rev sports. I am not that guy at all. No one buys a ticket. Why do you have it? Then you have no idea what collegiate athletics are about. If you say, if you don't sell a ticket, it serves no purpose. You're lost. You've never been an athlete. You've never been on a college campus. You've never seen the value that non-rev sports bring to a community, but more importantly, bring to the student athlete. You don't get it. There is life and value in non-rev sports. All right, anyway, so it's Kyle Hamilton. Steelers, Ravens, it truly is the best. As a lifetime Browns fan, there's still part of me that still is angry and bitter about it. But hey, it is what it is, to their credit. How about the fact that Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh have now faced each other more than every other coaching head-to-head with one exception in the history of the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Name the other two coaches, and I don't know the exact numbers, but name the other two head coaches in the 104-year history of the NFL that have faced each other more than Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. Do we have Jeopardy music?
Yeah. That way you got some music here. I want to say, is Tom Landry involved?
Tom Landry is not involved. Good guess, though.
What Don about George Shula? George Hallis? Oh, Don Shula.
George, that's a good one. There you go. You're on the right track.
So George Hallis and Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi.
There you go. George Hallis, Vince Lombardi, the only
thanks, Jay.
Head-to-head. Oh, wait.
Anytime.
Yes. George Hallis, George Hallis, Vince Lombardi, the only other head-to-head that has more meetings than Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Also pretty amazing, I want to go back to what I said before about the Mark Andrews touchdown catch from Lamar Jackson. So Josh Allen played his best regular season game ever, in my opinion, last week. First one of the perfect passer rating. Brock Purdy, ball never touched the ground. C.J. Stroud did what he did, right? But you see on the screen here, Mark Andrews celebrating with Lamar. Lamar Jackson played his best low-key, low-stat regular season game ever. Truly. In my opinion. Go back and watch the game. Like, I don't think he threw a bad ball. When he ran, he was Lamar. They were stunningly efficient offensively. gashed the Browns on the ground in the first and second quarter, scored on a short field after the pick and the big return by Brandon Stevens early, but gashed them on the ground. Browns' run defense had been stellar through 3 weeks. Just gashed them. And his pass to Mark Andrews, back corner of the end zone in triple coverage, is the, you should put it in the Louvre, and I hate that like meme and online thing, but put it in the Louvre for, he put it in the one place where only his guy could catch it. You always hear that?
Yeah.
That's what he did, but he did it in triple coverage. Not, oh, I'm going to do back shoulder on the sideline where only my guy can catch it. He put it in triple coverage in the back corner of the end zone where only his guy could elevate at 6'5" and bring it down. And he caught it. And it was amazing. And you just go, like when the ball came out of his hand, I was watching the game, clearly. Ball came out of his hand, like, oh, that's a pick. Nope, he caught it. And you had three DBs look at each other like, how did we allow him to catch that? Anyway, I digress. Coming up to the rest of the Week 5 schedule. The Week 5 schedule is pretty darn good. Last week we had 7 blowouts. I'll tell you my favorite game of the week coming up. Andrew sitting in for Rich.
Millions of listeners and thousands of 5-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
I did not approve this, but, you know, that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says breaking Bears trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air, and my phone's on the desk, and it's buzzing. And
yeah.
And I see it is, you know, it's Jeff Garland. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the Rich Eisen?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital left, Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that should have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear, but I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God.
TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, TJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue.
I'm ready for it.
You know the power that I have, especially in practical jokes. I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God.
Hey, what's going on, people? It's Thursday of Week 5. Andrew Siciliato sitting in for Rich Eisen of the Rich Eisen Show. A friendly reminder to stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports. Westwood One, WW0 Sports, or put your Westwood One affiliate station digital platforms on there as well. That's right. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Rich all season long for free and get in the zone of AutoZone. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries, and they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Westwood One broadcast tonight, obviously, from FedEx Field, with the Bears and the Commanders. Commanders, the home team. Obviously, Bears, the visiting team. In Washington, the Bears are winless, if you don't know. And if you also don't know, the social media department and the rest of the building in most of the 32 NFL buildings kind of operate in different worlds. And in some buildings, no names, the football side has a heavy hand on the social media side, right? There are some head coaches, again, no names, you can guess, that really want to see the social media before it goes up, right? And has strict guidelines on what the social media team, most of them 20-something kids fresh out of college, can post, right? They're trying to be fun. They're trying to be creative. But in some buildings, especially when it comes to injury updates and things like that and poking fun at other teams you might be playing, the coaches have a heavy hand. In others, coaches don't pay much attention because they're worrying about the football. And sometimes the social media department puts stuff up where you say, man, what were you thinking? The Chicago Bears had one of those tweets this morning. I want to preface this by saying, I don't think it makes the organization look bad. I don't think anyone did anything stupid. I don't think anyone should be fired. But sometimes you put up a tweet, and it's on the screen right now. Name this boy band as the Bears are leaving Lake Forest and getting ready to head to O'Hare. And you see a bunch of Bears with their travel gear and their suitcases getting on the bus. Name this boy band. It's a fun photo. Hey, we all have fun on social media, but you can imagine the replies. Oh, let's get some of the replies. Can't play. Out of sync.
Out of sync.
Maroon 0-5.
I mean, that is just genius.
That is, Maroon 0-5 is genius.
Maroon 0-5 is top notch.
Panic at the Bears show.
Panic at the disco.
I said instinct.
Yep.
Which is I stole from Robert Smigel and what was it?
Triumph.
Triumph, the insult comic dog, right? When he was outside.
About to get blown out. Blown out, boys.
Instinct.
The Jackson 0-5.
Yeah, the Jackson 0-5.
There you go.
One Direction and the arrow was down.
I saw one Wrong Direction, right?
I didn't see this at all till this is the first time I've seen this.
Tang Clan.
The Loose Tang Clan.
The 0-5 Heartbeats. I'm just scrolling here. Someone just tweeted a picture of Chase Claypool. The
0-5 Heartbeats.
The BG's We Stink. L-Town.
L-Town.
It's an O-Town.
It's 0-17. Zero Direction.
Zero Direction. The Suicidal Squad.
The Owen, O-W-E-N 5. The Basement Dwellers.
Can't play is really funny.
Which one?
Can't play.
Can't play. In Another Bad Creation.
ABC.
Yeah. It goes on and on. And listen, the social media team means well for most teams. There are some teams sometimes I don't think they mean well. There's one team in particular that takes a lot of shots at the other team. A lot of shots. They think they're funny, and they are funny most of the time, but sometimes you're like, are you writing checks your team can't cash?
That's what I mean. That's kind of been my point this whole time. Like, I get it. They have a job to do. They're trying to be funny. They're trying to be creative. They're trying to be edgy, but you don't have to play in the game. So somebody on the other team might really take this personal and try to injure someone on your... Who knows?
Well, this is not one of those.
This is not one of those. I'm saying other teams' posts. These players have to cash the checks.
You can say it. It's the Chargers. You can say it.
I wasn't going to say
it. I think the Chargers draft video is amazing. It's awesome. I'm not draft. I'm sorry. Schedule release video.
Schedule release, yeah.
But sometimes people have taken offense.
Yeah.
They have. I think they're funny. I think they're great, actually. But sometimes people take offense. Now, has it affected them on the field? No, not at all. I don't think so. So I think we make too big of a deal out of it, to be honest with you.
I think, to your point earlier, when you were kind of setting this all up, if I was a head coach, I think I would want to see all these. I would want to be the one to approve or disapprove of what goes out.
the Bears had a similar one 2 weeks ago, and it kind of flew under the radar. When I say similar, I mean that got comments where you just went like, oh my God. It was well-intended. It was Sunday morning before they lost. I can't remember what it was. I believe the Sunday morning of week 3. Yom Kippur was starting this evening, that night, Sunday night, heading into Monday. For those who don't know, it's the holiest of holies. It's a very solemn holiday on the Jewish religious calendar, and it's one on which you fast. Okay? It was before the Chiefs game, before they go into Kansas City and lost badly. And it said, wishing everyone a happy new year and a safe fast, which is what you say. Great. But the comments underneath it were like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Like, Bears fans just want to win. There was the obvious, like, dark side of the internet pushback against that as well.
Yeah,
and it's just like, what are we thinking here with this? Like, time it better. Do it Monday morning, maybe. You know? Time it better. And with this one, hey, I know what you're thinking. You're trying to drive interaction, but like, look at the comments here, right? Look at the comments. Do you want to post this and then turn comments off, right? Do
that
you?
Kind of makes it worse.
The backseat boys, another one. I'm just reading these.
If you turn the comments off, you're kind of anticipating. You're like, oh man, we might get a lot of pushback, but I want to put the picture out.
Well, but this one called for interaction, right? Name this boy band. And you know from the social media department here, the one thing you want is interaction.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. What are my analytics? Right? Because if you get interaction, then the algorithm, whatever app you're on, pushes it out to more people. Right? And then you get more views.
Yeah.
Right?
Oof.
Yeah.
But Chris, you said something about being a coach and wanting to see it. Man, seriously, bro, can you imagine Belichick with all the stuff he already has to do, wanting to sit down and go, hey, coach, here's some tweets and Instagram posts you got to look at. He would lose his mind. These guys don't want to.
Probably. He probably doesn't care, but maybe a younger coach is a little more in tune.
I like this one. None defeated.
Yeah. I don't think this one would have gotten approved if I was the head coach.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Hey, the baseball playoffs happened and are happening. Brian Kenny coming up next.
None defeated. I like that one.
None defeated.
I had not seen that until you popped it up on screen, so that was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, what, the none defeated one?
No, the whole post. I hadn't seen it until it just
popped up. Well, I give Brockman credit this morning. I was getting ready. I was trying to throw down some breakfast and get out the door, and you texted me.
I was like, oh, gosh.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, gosh. And look, I got to text Shane with a bunch of friends, some of whom are Bears fans. And we've all sent texts back and forth, not just about the Bears. You post a tweet and you go, hey, just look at the comments. And yeah, social media departments have to think of that. But honestly, like, what takes off on social media sometimes doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
like,
you can't tell.
No, like, something like that is certainly harmless, but like, you're not doing your team any favors.
None.
When they're 0-4 and everyone expects them to lose tonight, and you're like, name this boy band. Like, come on. Maroon 0-5.
Maroon 0-5. I don't know how you beat Maroon 0-5. Can you possibly beat Maroon 0-5? And then it just becomes a talking point. It becomes like someone here that I've been on enough NFL buses in my days, right? Everyone's quiet. Everyone's on their phones. You're heading to the airport. You're heading from the airport. Yeah. Okay. That stuff gets passed around the bus, right? Yeah. Now, you hope, and I really do mean this, you hope that they have, like, the players have fun with it, right? Like, they're probably looking, they're probably clowning the guys in the picture. That's what they're doing. They're clowning the guys in the picture.
Absolutely.
I don't think it truly affects them, but it affects us. As I mentioned, Brian Kenny coming up next hour. Andrew sitting in for Rich. Don't go anywhere, anyone.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.